call this first monthly regular meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Wednesday, December 9th, to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Okay, so we have for us the agenda. Today on the agenda, we're going to have an executive session. It's for real estate pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, sections B and C, and that'll be about how long?
We have multiple real estate issues.
Hour?
No. I'd like to say 30 minutes.
30 minutes? No decision?
No decision.
Okay. And we also have an addition to the agenda. Under the first reading, which is for discussion only, we're going to have section B, which is an introduction by Mr. Wiggins of something that he wants to talk about in a building. And so with those additions, do we have any other additions to the or corrections to the agenda? Okay, I move that we approve it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the consent agenda. I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Wow, we have a full house again. We should have some public comments out of that crew. This is the time for public comments not related to the agenda. None. Okay. All right, then we'll go right to the second reading action items, which is the Quilcene wastewater update.
Well, we've completed the interviews. We had four applicants, all of them were excellent. It took us a little bit longer than we first thought it would to go through the information after the interviews. We had a team that consisted of Linda, who's in the audience, and Quilcene. Eric, Jim, and I, and Commissioner Hankey sat in on the interviews. And since these were requests for qualifications, since it's an engineering effort, no money was discussed. It was just, you know, how good are you doing these, you know, sorts of projects. So with that, we've made us a recommendation, and I'd like to get your go-ahead to contact the company and start developing scope of work and negotiating the price. And as you know, we are limited on the money because it comes out of the PIF, the Public Infrastructure Fund of the county. So with that, of the four companies, Tetra Tech was our number one choice after the interview. So I would ask that you grant me the authority to go ahead and start that process, keeping in mind that after we get into the negotiations, if we can't come to an agreement on the cost, we have the right to say thank you very much and go to another company. You don't have to, you know, stay with that one. So,
just so I'm clear, when you were requesting these qualifications, did you give them the scope of the about how much money there was available in the PIP funds? They don't know that from public records or anything?
Well, they can. That's
yeah. Up to them.
It was a product. Some did and some. I don't know if they all did. I know some did. I know what it was. So that's really about it. We're ready to move out on this thing. Figuring if we can get a scope of work developed and get a contract, which I'll have to bring back to the commission to approve anyway. We'd like to get this thing actually physically started in January. And we're thinking probably by Labor Day, have it wrapped up.
There was good discussions.
A lot of public outreach discussion.
Yeah, that's kind of the, you know, the culture of Quilcene, and how are you going to get part of the group that doesn't want to pay for septic and part of the group that does want to pay for septic to come together and reach a common denominator? And I think a lot of that was incorporated in the discussion of what group is really going to carry that, as well as the design, what group is going to carry that discussion most effectively.
And from an engineering standpoint, I think all four companies you know, could do an excellent job with some of the other nuances of the community, as we well know down there.
And we did rank them, so I mean, there's a second that I think we all, the first didn't work, but there was another one that would be.
So.
Okay, well, I can see no reason to not move forward.
I'll make a motion on it.
Go ahead, and I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Yay, done.
Yeah, we entered negotiations with Tetra Tech for the Cool Seam Water System.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Wastewater.
Wastewater, yeah.
Waste, there is another project that we're not involved in.
Okay, so the boat ramp update.
Jim?
Well, you can see outside, we experienced a vibration this morning. The work is continuing, and we're actually ahead of schedule, and I gotta say, Neptune is doing an excellent job. They're one of the cleanest companies I've seen out there working, so everything seems to be going well.
We will, one thing is, we contacted the city, well, because of the tides, low tides being at night, they're at that point where you're gonna start excavating below the high water mark, so that's all we got done nighttime. So we notified the hotel here, and they're okay with that, and notified the city, which is part of the requirement. And Lance, the DCD director, yeah, was okay with that too. We sent them a list of what nights and what times. It's just excavating, so it'll be a couple of dump trucks and the excavator. Won't be any pile driving or anything like that.
And the schedule is on the website for the nighttime work.
So the last meeting you mentioned about there's gonna be a change order, is that still the case?
I don't know yet, we don't think there is.
Yeah, we don't think so.
Good.
They're pouring footings, they had to pour footings anyway, and they're just pouring footings next to those pipes.
Yeah, we knew the fuel lines were there, they're on, clearly on the engineer drawings, we did the utility locate, like we do with all construction projects, to verify it. But what he can't tell you until you uncover it is how far down it was. And it was a lot closer to the surface than we thought, and that kind of worried us, whether we could pour over that, you know, the new cement, or would have to reroute it. And it looks like we can, you know, essentially encapsulate it and pour over it, so don't move it.
Anything else on the boat ramp update? Okay, so then we'll go to the first reading, which is the discussion for the miscellaneous rates.
Jim put together, it's in your packet, highlighted in red, just a few changes. One of them, we already knew about the increase in the annual ramp fee to $70. But some of these others, you know, the port labor rate, overtime rate, the kayak rate down at Point Hudson for storing a kayak, and the work float use, yeah, we took all those up a little bit. So I don't know if we want to have any discussion on the rationale.
I think we should. You know, Abigail and I went through these, and a lot of them can stand, but some of them, you know, port labor rate of $50 hasn't gone up in 7 years, and obviously our burden rate for employees goes up. So we're asking that we go up from 50 to 60, and from 70, or from 80 to 85, for when maintenance has to come in and do something off hours or something like that. We need some kind of established rate. We just think 50 is a little too low based on our new salaries and fully burdened costs. So that's our recommendation there. As Larry said, the $70 annual fee for ramp usage is, we already approved that. Kayak racks have been an interesting thing. We originally had kayak racks at $25, and we didn't get any takers. We lowered it to $20, and now we have a waiting list. We feel it's the best deal at Point Hudson. You know, have your boat right on the water. $20 a month, so we have a waiting list. We'd like to up that to 25. Unfortunately, if we pull it up to 25, leasehold tax comes into play. At $20 it doesn't, at 25 it does. So what we're proposing is to go to $28, and that will include leasehold tax, and there won't be any kind of issues with the leasehold tax and what we have to pay the state. So that will be inclusive. So that's why it's gone up from 20 to 28 instead of 20 to 25.
But we still have to pull that 12.84% out
Right. So our net is going to be 25, or just a little under 25, but our net income will be per kayak per month. And it's still a great deal to have your boat that close to the water. The other thing is probably the most controversial, and I really wanted to talk about this. We have the work float that's next to the 300-ton lift. There are a lot of marine trades that understand that's a very coveted spot. And so what happens is a marine trade will come in and reserve it for 3 months. And so it's basically their own dock for 3 months. We've been charging $1 a foot, which is what we charge anywhere in the marina. So the marine trades are saying, gosh, if I can have a prime space right next to the 300 ton for the same price as the commercial basin, I will do that. Staff recommends, mortgage staff, that we do two things. One, make it more of a financial incentive and actually double the rate from $1 a foot to $2 a foot and make that so they can only reserve it for 2 weeks maximum. So again, that came from mortgage because it's very difficult to manage that dock when it's one marine trade comes and uses it for 2 or 3 months. Because that's the dock we have to set masts and all the other work we need to do. And if there's a boat there for 3 months, we can't do that. So that's our proposal.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
Yeah, I've got some. That's kind of a big deal. I mean, a little bit. In that, so if you're bringing in a 100-foot dragger or 100-foot tacker, they can, and they're just doing work in the water on it, they can do that on the linear float down from the heavy haul out at $1 a foot.
Right. Oh, $1.25, because that just went up. We approved that $1.25 from that curve.
$1.25. The only hard part there is you've got no way to get a truck next to it. So then they've got to move up to that float in order to offload or unload.
Or sometimes, depending on what it is, if they're offloading or want to load nets or something, they'll actually go across the end of the heavy pier.
It was designed as a temporary float, and because the way we've been managing it, people have said, I've got a 3 month project, I'm just going to reserve the float. And it just precludes any other marine trade from using it. So we'd like some flexibility in how that's managed and how long it's.
Has there been any input from anybody from the marine trades about this proposed change? Do they know about it?
Probably not.
Well, this is the first reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not asking for a decision. Mm-hmm. It
would be good to get some feedback.
Any other discussion from the
probably will. Audience?
This John?
The first time I've seen it, yeah. I suspect it was going to go up based on budget talks. But I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody, but we'll get the word out.
Okay.
What are the limitations on that? What are the limitations of being there?
There are no limitations right now. A lot of people are using it for 3 months.
And they're saying on this, Dan, it's 2 weeks. So what, I mean, you're kind of the guy I'm thinking of. So what do you think of this? I mean, you're
kind of... Well, a lot of times when I go to use it, it's not available.
Right.
So a lot of times, sometimes we'll go into the heavy notch for a short period and leave. But,
like, do you have a truck-mounted welder that you probably want to get next to a rig sometimes? Yeah.
Or a crane.
Yeah.
You know, same. You know, we have to load and unload. We have another business, Wiggins Marine, and that was we were utilizing that to finish that project and load it with gear and whatnot. And there was a lot of times it wasn't available. You know, but like I said, it's not a whole lot of space and it's probably highly coveted. And we try to work around it. You know, with other marine traders, you know, too, and they'll leave and we'll come in there and we'll work amongst ourselves and if we can, but not everybody is that flexible.
So then when you said that sometimes you want to use it, it's not available, would this 2 week limit perceivably make it more available? Would that be benefit to you?
Yeah, and it's a, you know, you have to look ahead on your schedule and try to schedule that in. And that's always sometimes sometimes an emergency to come in and you have to do something. But like Larry was saying, they'll come up on the end of the dock too. And you can't stay there very long because they've got all those. worked around it, but there should be some type of limitations dictated.
We just want to, since it's a, it's our only work float, you know, make it as available as possible to as many, marine trades.
Let's talk about this. If we brought a boat in, like I've come in on the CX just to pop the life rafts off with Gus. So then is that $130 odd to me?
No, it's just for a day. But we would establish a temporary tie-up fee like we do anywhere. If you come in for an hour, there'll be an hourly fee too. But we're just talking about the long-term people tying up the dock day in, day out.
And then, so you would think it's more the availability than the cost? So, yeah.
Well, you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, I've gone other places and done loading out of the park, and that's time travel time there, and nothing like that. So, and that's just my boat.
Yeah.
As customers, that's a good part. We have to roll stuff right down the dock, then the dock.
Yeah.
You kind of need it for some type of rig that you could actually set up that had wheels that was motorized that you could run down the way near dock. But I can't imagine making that corner too. That rig would probably end up in the water one of these days. This is the thought. We were trying to figure something out. We were literally having to go way down the near dock to slow the boat.
Okay, so the next is item B on the first reading, and that's Dan. You can give us an introduction to what you're considering.
On the building?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read you what Randy Wiggins wrote, the proposal he wrote. And,
Can you come up? We'd like to get it on the speaker here and
make it famous.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Can I hand some of these off?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Because I'm fairly unfamiliar with COVID.
That was the email this morning?
Yeah. Not anyone to read here.
No, of course.
Yeah. And try to hang on to some of that stuff. That's some of that information that needs to be kept. Not everybody should share.
Well, it's a legal issue that you just made it a public document.
Okay.
Well, commissioners.
You could retract it if you want.
Well, I can retract this one here then.
Yeah, but you also sent it to us via email.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Did I? Yeah, maybe Randy did.
Yeah, she sent the whole thing.
Okay.
Photographs.
Well, anyway, what it is, it shows our contractors and everything, you know, what we've been doing. It shows some type of our capabilities. Anyway, what we've been up to. So, Randy writes, we at Wiggins Marine and Craftsman United would like to propose the construction of a new building in the Boathead Haven. It would be 180 feet long, 90 feet wide, and 50 feet tall. We have included a picture of the location of where we would like to construct our new building and two other pictures of locations that were discussed with Jim and Larry in a meeting yesterday, as well in a meeting a couple of weeks ago. We have discussed the cost associated with having some or all the building go into the derelict boat area. The cost would be $100,000 to $200,000 plus the cost of the geotechnical report to ballast it and whatnot. We are not in a position to spend the additional cost. If the Port of Port Townsend would cover the cost to bring that area to grade, we would be more than willing to go back in the area. So we would like to stay in the ballast area of the port. The boat haven for now. Currently, Craftsman United has over 30 employees from the Port Townsend and local surrounding areas, over half of which are working full-time out of town. It has been this way for many years. The reason Craftsman United has to do the majority of its work out of town and out of state is because their current building is not able to suit their needs of the large jobs. There are generally several million dollars out of town as subcontractors that they would prefer to do in Port Townsend. Getting this new building would allow Craftsman United to become a prime contractor on many of these jobs, producing tons more jobs for the local community, as well as tens of millions of dollars of which the city of Port Townsend would benefit from taxes on. Not to mention the building allows for all the employees that spend over half the year working out of town, missing out on their, watching their kids grow up. And she's speaking from experience, actually. And spending time with their family to be home again. Craftsman United is looking to bring state and federal jobs to Fort Townsend. To get these jobs, they need two things, experience and a large, secure location. It takes several years and several big jobs to get the experience required to win these bids. Craftsman United has had this experience for a while now, but have not had a location to do the jobs. Other companies with the proper facilities, but no experience, list Craftsman United as a subcontractor in their bids for these jobs. They are then awarded the multi-million dollar jobs because of the experience we have. We are then contracted to leave town for the work. Right now, Craftsman United is building a 175-foot aluminum yacht hall in a Seattle facility that I have included a picture of. This job requires a portion of the Craftsman United employees to live in Seattle 5 days a week for 8 months. It is a good example of the job that we would have liked to do at home. And if we had the job here to do it, I've also included a list of some of the past jobs and capabilities of Craftsman United. We hope that you will consider our proposal very seriously, as we have discussed the building with the city as well as all the subcontractors needed to do the work. We're ready to start construction on the building as soon as we get the official word from the court, and would like to have the building done by May at the very latest. And it's signed by Dan Wiggins, Daniel Wiggins, my son, Randy Wiggins, and Michelle Wiggins. And we understand the problem. You want to generate income with these spaces, but we just badly need a building. We need a place to go. Like the job we're doing now for the state of Washington, it's not very productive. We're doing it, but it's not a very productive way of doing things. No overhead cranes, no dry space. We deal with the wind and everything. The quality is a battle to keep the quality work. We have a torpedo weapons recovery boat that just got hauled out the other day that we're working on. We are the prime contractor on that one, and we are going to spend over $30,000 building a structure over it in front of the heavy haul-out so we could do the work there. But anyway, that's kind of, we have 3 years. I feel that I need to push forward and start getting a building somewhere to do this work. I've kind of pushed it off in the past, there's a good growth. This right now is a good growth time to grow. I'm trying to take advantage of that right now, and my wife wants to stay in Port Townsend. She wants to live here, so. And I'm going to have a hard time getting her to move somewhere else. So, but anyway, any questions?
How many of your guys are on Whidbey still?
We got one working on Whidbey or living on Whidbey. We have one guy living on Whidbey. Oh, two guys living on Whidbey, and we have 6 employees working at Nichols Brothers.
Yeah.
And then we have.
So you work at? They work at Nichols as a sub.
Yes.
You're 7.
Yeah, that's what we do. We've gone into, Bay Shift and the Bay Area, and we're subs there. I know the project managers and the quoting on that, and they usually put us right in the quote anymore. Marine Group in San Diego, same thing. We stretched the Mendocino Ferry there. We were also part of other bids that the only reason they qualified because of our aluminum experience. We're aluminum experts. The nucleus of us all came from Nichols Brothers originally, and we started this business back in 2005. So we've been around for a little while, and we have an appetite for, the bigger projects. It drives me crazy to have 50 projects in 1 year. I'd rather have, 4 or 5. That take longer, they're bigger projects, and it's kind of what we excel at. I really try to focus on those things, what we excel at. So, like dealing with Lloyd's and ABS, the state, those are the kind of jobs I like doing. So,
yesterday in our discussion, she talked about additional space besides the footprint of the building for laydown and storage and
parking, stuff like that.
Is it identified in these photographs?
Sort of.
It's just a building footprint.
This is just a building footprint?
Yeah, I believe so. And we were trying to get 150 by 200 space, which is really challenging. You still got to be able to get the heavy haul out in and buy the building. And that's kind of, that's been the challenge. And it can't be too close to the water because of the permitting issues that go along with that too.
So how's the timing for the permitting? You want to have something by May, it's like.
Well, we talked to the city, and there's several people have already gone down this road, so it's all kind of fresh in their mind. And they chose not to continue. So a lot of these things were fresh in their mind, and it sounds like in 2 months, less than 2 months, we would have a permitting, is what they're going to tell us. Because of all the work that has been already done. So, I mean, there's even in the ballast area, there's even been some of the geo testing in that area already that they would accept, which would save us $15,000 in testing probably.
So you folks targeting vessels any bigger than what our 330-ton can handle?
Well, right now I'm contracted to do 500 tons of steel. And right now I'm loading them on barges and sending them out here. That's our plan right now. We would like to be able to launch boats off the beach. And there's a separate proposal that I've been proposed about that. There's a gentleman that does all the launching for Nichols Brothers, and it's a very low impact type of, it doesn't disturb, it's on a rail system. There's tugboats, yeah.
That's a big freaking boat.
That's a big boat. We built the helicopter. We built the helicopter pad on there and the hangar and had it installed, Lloyd's job, we did it in 45 days and 12 guys. And I was pretty proud of that job. And from that job, we got the 175-foot aluminum hull. It's the same family, and they said that we'd have to be involved in that. And like I said, I take the Pepsi challenge when it comes to aluminum and construction. It's kind of what we do. We built a reputation over the years. Usually people call us when we're in a little bit of trouble. Sometimes they call us a little too late, but we come in and we just get it done. So we have a great safety record. We got all the nuts and bolts of the business and with dealing with the government and stuff like that. So we're ABS certified welders, every kind of material you can think of. So, and we got a great bunch of guys. We're still small. Like on here, it says a small company that does big things, and that's really kind of, I don't want to be over 50 employees. I want to be 32 employees, 40 employees, something manageable, and I think we can get the things that we need done doing that. Over 50 employees kind of opens up a whole new can of worms, administratively and whatnot. So and that's something I want to try to avoid. So, but a lot of subcontractors, we use a lot of people in the port, on different jobs, painting, and just, it depends on our manpower issues, but we'll bring in subcontractors. Like on this job, we'll have some subcontractors on that boat from the port in there as well.
People I know. It's the height issue, right? Mm-hmm. The building would meet the height?
Yeah.
Well, Dan said, you can't, the closer you get to the water, the less height you're allowed. And I think if you're within 200 feet of the water, it's either 30 or 35 feet is the maximum height of any structure. But many, many, many years ago, when Platypus was looking to build a large structure, we went to the city, took quite an effort.
Yeah.
But we got the city to change the height limit within the boat haven, essentially that back corner. If you drew a line from directly across from the front of the old town debate, how the co-op bill is straight across from there back to include the lumber yard, we're now authorized to go up to 70 feet. And the height limit on a building by code is it's not the peak of the roof. You go up the slope halfway, and that's what they consider the height of the building, even though it still goes up another couple of feet. These tend to be pretty flat, the building itself. So it would have to be essentially in that area.
Yeah.
And the current town today, the big building is 50 feet, so.
And the red building, I think, is 70?
I think it's a little less than that. But we're all right about the 17.
Yeah, there's a certain volume above, a certain amount of foot, square footage that dictates.
Yeah, we have to walk on the hillside and those, and everybody's, literally, everybody's living room up there.
Yeah.
You know, we ran a crane up to the 70-foot limit, put a big placard on it, and I had to take photographs to show whether it impacted their view or not, and present that to the city council.
So this really, in this picture, Dan, this is about the size of Building 3.
Correct, yeah. Just a little bit taller.
So Dan, these three scenarios, which one's most ideal for you?
In a ballast area, all the way in a ballast area, because it's less money to ballast. Like I said, I know your budget restraints, but I mean, we would go into the non-ballast area, but we just don't have the money to ballast that area.
Well, now, you have to get into it from the skinny side of the building, right?
Yeah, and you have other spaces that will be affected by that.
Right.
Well, I think we need to analyze this a little bit and discuss it. It's the first reading, so commission can't vote today.
Right.
So this one, if you had to do a beach launch, I mean, is that doable for with the way the real estate's laid out here for doing a beach launch?
Well, on this one, I think she's got, it's actually, we talked about doing this just a little bit, I think.
Which one do you want to have, Brad?
The first one.
Yeah, okay.
And, but yeah, we have the capabilities. I've built these crawlers in the past. We have the capabilities that can move 7 million pounds anywhere. And I know we don't want to have 7 million pounds in there, but we have the capabilities.
The yard's not ballasted.
Yeah, exactly. But 1 million pounds, I mean, we've launched the Sea Fighter was 1 million pounds. And again, it was 37 days we built a crawler. And then with the help of this other gentleman, once you get it there, he takes over and it just goes down a rail system. Nichols Brothers is doing this right now. That's what they're launching the super ferries, superstructures, tugboats, and everything is on this rail system. And the gentleman actually came out and looked at the beach area and we talked about what it would take. Nichols Brothers is, they're kind of been my big brother, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're wanting to see us get involved and help them with their workload. They got 3 years worth of work they need help with, so we can take it on these projects that come out.
So you're not just looking at a 1 or 2 or 3 year or just a few projects, you're looking at something decades to come, right? To
yeah, go. 30 years. Yeah. My son is the guy that drives the hell out of me, and he's something else, and he's my exit strategy. So I gotta make sure I leave him.
I know that.
Yeah, man. And he's a good, I was hoping he was to be here today, but like I said, he's building that 175-foot aluminum boat right now, so. And he's a good guy, so.
I would suggest if you did give the commissioners any documents that are sensitive, you might want to take those back. I don't think they're putting it to these hands.
Let me look at them again. Basically, it's the work that we've done.
What would happen to all the deadbeat boats in the back?
We can get rid of them. We've got a plan we're going to try to address next month. I'm actually getting rid of those.
Well, some of them aren't deadbeat, but there's enough room to relocate them probably, so.
No, you can keep them. I thought they had something else on there. She didn't send that one document. It actually had prices, but they're, you know, if you want to dig them up, you can find them, but they're fine. You can keep them. It basically tells you what our capabilities are and what we've been doing and stuff like that. We built 37-foot remote control boats for the Navy. We've done, you know, we built a Washington State Ferry above Grand Coulee Dam, put it together there, partnered up with Foss. And Foss got the job because of our aluminum experience. And that was about the easiest job we ever did. And people think, well, that's unbelievable. It was the easiest job we've ever done in our life. Everything worked out, clicked really good. We hauled mods down the road that were 116 feet long and 22 feet wide, took them through tunnels and got them right up above Grand Coulee Dam on Lake Roosevelt, assembled a facility there and put it all together and launched it on time, you know. and that was a good job. So those are the kind of things that we kind of have a taste for, and it's kind of cool. Anyway, I kind of like doing it. So,
yeah. Thank you, Dan. Okay, so on to potential immediate action items, the Sandbaugh's hangar assignment.
So Shirley Sandbaugh has been attending at the airport for 10 years. She wants to move on and sell her hangar. She actually has sold her hangar. She needs your approval to transfer that lease. So it's just a straight assignment. Neil Morrison, who's buying it, is also a long-term tenant of the port, so he's just acquiring more hangar space. So Erica has drafted the assignment of lease, and we just need your approval to actually transfer that part.
So we have a good relationship with Neil Morrison?
Yeah. He's been there a long time. He flies for UPS profession, but he built his own hangar and owns a couple others, big into restoring aircraft.
Okay, so since this is the first time we've seen it, and you want to get this done today?
It'd be nice if you could. They're waiting for us.
Okay, so we need a unanimous decision to do this today. I move that we do this today. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Okay, so then I move that we assign that hangar assignment to Mr. Morrison.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, staff comments.
I handed out before the meeting the results of October year-to-date financial statements. Sorry, I didn't have them ready in time for being on the agenda. But things are looking good year-to-date. Revenues are up over budgeted throughout the year. We're like 83% of the year, and we're at 85%, almost 86% of revenues. So we're over budget on revenues, which is a good thing. And then expenditures are down compared to what we had projected in the budget. Again, 83% for the year. We're at 76% of budgeted revenues without depreciation. Even with depreciation, we're at 78%. So,
Wow. Things
are looking good for 2015.
Great.
I should have November brings. We'll be all caught up now that the budget's done.
Thank you.
Sue? Tomorrow I'll be over in Seattle at the Coast Guard headquarters for the Washington Boating Alliance to get updates on the boat discharge zone throughout Puget Sound the DOE is proposing, and along with the feds, and some other data on the marine industry. So it should be a good session. And just a reminder that next week from Friday is our employee recognition get-together. We're not authorized to call it a Christmas party anymore.
At noon?
At noon, yeah. That's all we have.
Okay, public comments. We got the whole public comment, or the whole thing filled up, and we haven't had a comment at all. That's just amazing. Okay, commissioner comments. Oh, go. Hey, we have
there you go.
Good job, John. Go ahead.
Well, having come in late and didn't hear the beginning of the presentation by Craftsman United, it sounded to me like an exciting project. I mean, creating jobs right here, high tech jobs. I certainly hope the court can be supportive of it. Our mission is not to provide long term parking folks.
Yeah,
exciting.
I was curious if that was an expensive project. Is that an expensive thing to balance that?
It'd be at least $200,000. And the other problem with the yard is when the lumber yard was there, they had kind of a shed area really stored.
Yeah, right.
There's a concrete pad there that would have to be dug up as well as part of that.
Okay, Commissioner Kong.
I have one.
You're going to put her on speakerphone?
No one can hear it now. As we looked at this morning, this fabulous partial draft replacement, one of the comments was made was giving the best rates, and we're doing the rates. obviously the...
Rates, what do you mean by rate?
When Eric was talking about how we're gonna pay for this.
Oh, right.
He talked about cutting certain expenses or raising the rates, and I wanna know when we're going to have a new discussion with rates.
That would be part of the regular budget process.
Yeah.
Yes, but not all, well, it can be part of the regular budget process, as in next year, but the rates can be changed at any time.
That's true.
Yeah, I think we need to go through, we're gonna be having some discussions on real estate and so forth. I think we need to let the facilities plan digest for a little bit and discuss some other, well, figure out where we are actually, budget-wise, and...
So you're advocating that rates should be raised sooner than later in order to anticipate what we're looking at in this plan?
Absolutely.
Speaking as a county president.
As a county resident. District two.
Got it.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, commissioner comments?
Just the quilt scene thing is really exciting. I can't put any percentage on if it's actually gonna happen or not, but I think it's great that we're moving the ball a little bit for that community down there.
It'll be really interesting to see how the community reacts to it and how they accept it or not. This could be a significant transformation of the community as we talked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to see the port participating. That's kind of what part of the mandate of the Port Authority. So I think it's interesting to see a port participating in this way.
And just so it's clear, Eric is gonna kind of lead the charge on this one, and our staff costs will be taken out of the amount of money provided from the county's PIF, so.
Yeah, we're not out of it.
Spending any port's money, if you will, in this endeavor, so. It'll be interesting.
So last time we were here, Pete, you mentioned there was a bit of a division. Is that kind of smoothing out a little bit?
Well, you know, I don't know, and I plan to be pretty involved with the working with the contractor at those meetings, because I really can't get a handle. Is Linda still here?
No.
Step out. Yeah, because I can't get a handle from Linda if, you know, what the demographic is on that. So I'm really looking forward to some community outreach meetings where we sit down and say, okay.
Well, it's kind of a different effort than previous efforts that we've been involved in, where people who otherwise might not want that much change, if in fact they realize that now their property has significantly increased in value, you know, money talks, you know, so it might bring more people to the table willing to support it.
I've heard the ones that want the change are much more vocal than the ones that don't. So that always kind of skews the debate a little.
And what we're talking about is coming to a, you know, trying to see if it's feasible to develop a community wastewater treatment capability along the Highway 101 corridor. But right now there's 90 commercial properties, zoned commercial, but essentially, and it's owned by like 40 different people, but they essentially can't be developed because the current septic rules, you've got to have your approved septic system, but then enough ground for a alternative septic system did the first one fail. And when you take all that square footage into effect, suddenly there's no room to build your building. You know, the parcel's all used up, or if it's a community septic where it's being pumped to a central treatment area, now you've got, if it's an acre of land, you can develop an entire acre, that sort of thing. So, but it could be a significant change for the community over the years, if it's possible. That's all this is, the feasibility stuff right now.
Any other comments?
I
I just had a question about what we talked about this morning. Is there any other items in there that be considered a health and safety issue aside from the sale loft?
Yeah, I think the main building that you brought up had some asbestos in it.
Actually, the three buildings, the duplex, the Commander's Beach House, and the main building all have really friable asbestos. And I think it's mentioned in the report that, you know, in the event of a hard winter freeze, which we apparently don't get anymore, but in the event that it were to happen again, that it would be really disruptive to the leaseholders in those properties. And so we're, you know, we've been systematically over the years going through and addressing the asbestos issue in the crawl spaces and the confined spaces. And these are the last three buildings that have been identified down there. And so that is, I think, another significant health and safety issue.
But the asbestos is the old one. The military had it back in World War II. All the buildings were heated by steam heat. So the pipes have been abandoned in there, but they have asbestos insulation around them. And some of it's in pretty good shape. If you don't disturb it, you're okay. But over time, you know, a lot of it's underneath the buildings. The otters get in there and pull it down and everything else.
And poor people like staff don't have the confined space entry certification. So in the event of, say, a plumbing break midwinter, we would have to basically, you know, the businesses would effectively be on hold until we could get somebody under contract to address the situation as rapidly as possible.
Does that mean we got a bunch of otters running around with asbestosis?
I was going to say, yeah, they seem to be flourishing with that.
Quite well. I was down there the other day and people are feeding those otters.
Okay, well, I don't have any other comments, and so we're going to adjourn this morning and go into an executive session.
30 minutes, real estate.
Say one.